the battle for the families. In chapter 2, starting at verse 7, starting at verse 1, I mean, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this." If we think that we can take a casual attitude towards the spiritual future of our families, our children in particular, and the things that matter, we are foolishly presuming our enemy, Satan, is taking the same casual attitude toward you and your family. And he is not. If there's any problem that exists in the church today, it's a casual attitude about all spiritual matters. And there's an intensity that God wants us to walk in that doesn't gain us anything, but reflects an attitude. Do you remember when you first got married? Probably people like Russ probably can't remember that far back. But anyway, when you first get married, you really have a passion for the person you married. And you act like it. Sometimes it's stupid. Sometimes it's just like newly married stuff. But it represents, it reflects an attitude. Doesn't mean you love your spouse anymore a week or a month or 10 months after the wedding. It's just that you find ways of expressing that to them. I think sometimes we substitute or we fail to understand the need for intensity in our approach to the things of God. That God wants us to be sold out, totally committed to whatever he wants to do in our lives. And when we start taking a casual attitude that, well, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. No big deal. It is a big deal. We live in a world that just seems to want to just take things as they come, and fail to realize that we can prepare for goodness, or we can prepare for success, or we can prepare for failure. Now, Timothy is being given instruction by his mentor, the Apostle Paul, but I'm convinced that this scripture applies to both men and women, in particular mothers today, who are part of the body of Christ, and recognize we are engaged in spiritual warfare. As I was preparing for this week, if there's anything that I believe strongly, is that there are people in this fellowship that have kids that aren't walking where they should with the Lord. And we have to ask ourselves the question, are we just taking that casually? You take a casual approach to where your kids are spiritually, I promise you the devil's not going to take a casual attitude. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. He's out to take the life of your kids. He's out to detract and turn them away from the things of God to the point that when all of you stand before God, you go one direction and they go another. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to understand that he has put his spirit within us to motivate us to walk according to the things of God. And that oftentimes we allow ourselves to become too passive in our approach to the things of God and fail to realize that When the Bible talks about our walk with God being a fervent love for him, that's called white hot. That's called a passion for God. And we don't have a right to sit back and just kind of relax and just kind of take it easy. The problem is that Jesus said in the days before the coming of the Lord, men's hearts are going to do what? They're going to wax cold. And wax that becomes cold is becoming to get separated from the heat. And the New Testament specifically talks about the importance of a passion that's likened to a flame of fire that burns in our spirit. And oftentimes we allow ourselves to slip away from that mentality because we could become, as a phrase in the Old Testament, we become at ease in Zion. And folks, we can't afford to be at ease in Zion. Satan walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't have the permission to devour anybody, but if we don't measure up in terms of our commitment and our intensity for the things of God, then what we're doing is we're copping an attitude, a passive attitude, and we open ourselves up for free access by Satan. And you may not buy that, but you know something? I've been around for 47 and a half years preaching this stuff. I know it's true. Now, in these kinds of days then, Mother's Days, I think it's profitable for us to take time to consider how we're made or how we're wired, ways that govern our how we commonly relate to life, experiences through different perspectives, that is, men and women. Now, at the risk of oversimplifying how we relate to these issues, to life issues, I want you to think about the following. Men, God bless men. I love being a man. I think men are awesome. We men often verbalize our perspectives as being we're objective. And we kind of keep things in the realm of reason and logic. It's kind of like back burner, front burner stuff, you know. We take a lot of stuff and we put it on the back burner. And the things that need immediate attention are on the front burner. The problem is we don't have enough back burners. We keep pushing so much stuff back there hoping it's all going to work out. The fact is sometimes that things don't work out the way we want to. But we're able to compartmentalize. You know what that means, don't you? If we want to bother something with something right today, we kind of put it over there in the look at it tomorrow compartment. And we push things aside. Now, the positive side of that, there really is a positive side to that, Priscilla. The positive side of that is when there's a lot of just things floating around and you're not sure where your priorities ought to be, men have an easier time establishing priorities than what women do. Because we you know, okay, that'll work out. We'll take care of it tomorrow. Let's do this today. Hello? The negative part of that is that sometimes we let stuff stay in that compartment too long. And they don't get taken care of as soon as they should. All right? That's a man's perspective. Just don't be talking down here, okay? And that's a man. Now, women, on the other hand, they kind of verbalize life in terms of a subjective perspective. That is, they're emotionally connected with about every issue in life. And women don't have any back burners. Every burner is a front burner. And they want everything taken care of right now. And if you don't believe that, the next time you have a discussion, an intense discussion over some issue with your wife or your spouse, preferably your wife, and you will find that she'll not only discuss today's problem, but she'll remind you of four or five problems in the past that didn't get taken care of that she wants you to take care of while you're taking care of this one. If you're driving down the street, there's a wreck up front. The man says, oh, there's a wreck up there. The wife goes, oh, what if everybody's hurt? They just relate to life emotionally. Now, the problem with that sometimes is you don't see clearly. You just want the feeling taken care of. But the positive thing to that is that women get connected to things and they stick with it until it's resolved, bless God. And it's kind of like if men would have had babies, there would have been one But women, they fall in love with that baby the minute they find out that they've conceived. They all of a sudden start thinking, they start dreaming, start looking ahead. As that baby grows in their tummy, they begin to feel, start to feel the movement. All of a sudden, man, they fall in love with that child. And they're in love with that child before it's ever born. Hello? And they can't wait to get that baby in their arms. We men are concerned about diapers and bottles. They just want to love, that mother just wants to love on that baby. And that's the way God made us. But that influences our perspective on everything. Men have a tendency to be too brainy, and women have a tendency to be too much heartfelt stuff. Well, there's positives and negatives on both sides of that issue. If you don't agree with that, that's okay. But usually the things that are of great importance require a commitment to stand for what is right and dismiss lesser issues in view of the greater ones that exert greater pressure and concern about the outcomes. In other words, the great challenge is to make the right choices and stand by them. Right choices and stand by them. Now, the Word of God is our guide. And the Word of God shows us what direction we should take in all these matters and helps us to keep connected with Him and the course of action that He wants us to follow. But foundational to all things that pertain to life is the reality that the kingdom of God is to be pressed into. I would like to tell you that all you've got to do is get on your tube and float down the easy river like they do down at Disneyland. But it just doesn't work like that. Life is not just an easy river. Life is filled with problems. There are rocks. There are waterfalls. There are issues in the way. And you've got to know the direction that God is leading your life. And if you can think that it's just going to happen as it's going to happen, I promise you that's not the case. Now, grace is free, but it requires us to make choices and resist the easy way out on important issues of life. Now, my concern for us today as parents, namely as mothers, is to begin to take on an aggressive attitude concerning your children. We have a tendency to trust God. What does that mean, trust God? Well, we trust that He's working out the details, and we're not going to get in the way of trusting God and try to help Him out to implement those details. But the problem we have is that we think trusting God means to kind of just sit back and just say, one of these days it's all going to work out. Folks, I just refuse to accept that. Your kids are in a battle. There's an enemy out there that's out to destroy your kids. Grace is free, but it cost Jesus His life. And when He went to the cross, He spent time interceding with the Father to the point carrying such pressure of the moment that the capillaries in His brain actually begin to ooze blood. What is that called? That's called stress. That's called taking a commitment and saying, you know what? I got to pay whatever the cost is involved in this. But the cost we have as believers, I can't go to the cross for my children. We can't go to the cross for those that we love. But we can go to the prayer closet. And we can invest our time because of our intensity for their salvation and walking and committing themselves to God. Because you see, Paul says, I travail in birth for you until Christ be formed in you. I don't call that taking an easy way out, folks. I don't call that sitting back and saying, well, bless God, I know you're the church. I know Jesus is in you. I know He's going to take care of you. Paul travailed in birth. You know what travail in birth is, don't you? Do you ladies know what it means to travail in birth? You all know that babies get born on their own, right? You don't have to do a thing. You just lay there, say, all right, come on. No, you got to push. You got to breathe. You got to bear down, because babies cost, if you will, cost a lot of strength and energy and stress. Now, my wife was so enthralled with me after she had Joel, she told me, get out of here, go to church. I was going to stay there and comfort her. She said, I don't want your comfort, I want sleep. All because she spent all of about 20 minutes having a baby. We got Joel to the hospital at 7 o'clock, and he was born at 7:27. Oh, was it that long? I want you to start thinking about taking on an aggressive spirit concerning your children that maybe you haven't thought about. Sometimes, as wives, you rely too much on your husband. He's a spiritual leader in my home. He's supposed to be hearing from God. He's supposed to know what God is saying. The fact is that that's true. But the fact is that you've got as much of a responsibility in walking these things out in faith as your husband does. And that my conviction is that more often you'll be more committed to the outcome in your children's lives than what your husband is. Because remember this compartmentalization problem he's got? Oh yeah, I know God's going to take care of him. And the wife says, I know he's going to take care of him, but we need to keep him in prayer. Okay, let's do that. And the fact is that their approach to the whole matter, in Joel, when God said he poured out his spirit upon all flesh, he says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Upon my handmaidens will I pour out my spirit. In other words, now some of you, I've never polled Living Waters Chapel to find out whether or not you agree with what I teach. I never have done that. And the reason why I've never done that is because I don't want to know. It's just when you know you're right, you want to be told you're wrong, right? But I'm a firm believer in equality in marriage. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer that when God created Adam and Eve, he created them one person. It was sin who divided them. It was sin who put in strife and contention. It was, and when God spoke to Adam and Eve after the fall, he says, your husband shall rule over you. That wasn't an instruction for how relationships were supposed to be. He said, that the reason why that's going to happen is because sin has just entered into the picture. Before sin would have come, as a matter of fact, I think it's Genesis 5, it says that here are the generations of Adam and Eve in the day that he created, and he male and female created he them and called their name Adam. And I was saying to you that before God, you have as much of privilege but also responsibility for the spiritual environment of your home. And don't let anybody con you into thinking that you can sit back and relax and trust your husband to do it, because he may blow it. He may get over there into his compartment and accidentally lock himself in and never get out to pay any attention to the rest of the things he needs to attend to the marriage. I'm a firm believer, folks, that we need to understand that when God equipped at Pentecost the church to walk into things of the Spirit, there were women at that prayer meeting. And there were women in the early church that functioned as pastors. So if we could just take another look and recognize, okay, if God used women in the early church, he possibly wants to use women in the latter church, which includes today. And so I believe that if we understand that truth, if we accept that truth, and I'm sure you do, that God hasn't changed his mind. And here's what I would encourage you to do, to become aggressively spiritual and declare the enemy has illegally invaded your household and you are not going to be passive about it any longer. You're going to make a declaration that as far as you're concerned, Satan's power is being broken over the lives of your children. Totally irrespective of what your husband thinks or does, you are going to assume the responsibility that you have before God to stand strong in the things of the Spirit. And you're not going to rely on someone else to pray your prayers. You're not going to rely on someone else to act your faith out. You're not going to go to the books. You're not going to go to the TV. You're not going to go to the living waters and believe that somehow God's going to work it all out because someone else is believing and praying for you. You are recognizing that you stand before God clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have been empowered with the Holy Spirit to walk in the things of God. He has equipped you through the reading and study of the Word of the living God. You know what to pray. You know how to act. You know what to do. And when you face the enemy and you see him trying to steal the lives of your kids, you're going to say, no way. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord over my children. Hallelujah. You hear me back there? I love Acts 16. It says that after Paul and Silas were praising God, that God sent an earthquake, broke all the bondages off the prisoners, and the jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul went on and says, no, don't do it. We're still, we haven't gone anywhere. And he wanted to know how he could be saved. And God, and he says, repent, be baptized in water because of the remission of your sins, and you will be saved, except your wife. You and your household. Hello? That meant everybody. Not just somebody. Not just one. But we got this men mentality stuff, you know. Well, we think that somehow, oh, here's a good one for you. I get this all the time from people who don't agree with me, and I can't convince them that I'm right. If God would have wanted a woman to be a minister, he'd have had a woman disciple. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, that is the most idiotic thing I've ever heard anybody say. I don't care who says it. That's stupid. Paul says in Galatians 3 that in Christ, everybody say in Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond or free. We're all one in the body of Christ. Why don't we get this? Why don't we listen? Of course, you know. I mean, I'm biased. I must admit, I'm biased in this whole issue. But there's nothing wrong with being biased when you know you're right, right? But my mother was a preacher from the time, you know, until she passed away. I mean, she was a preacher of the gospel. I've been around women preachers all my life. As a matter of fact, some of the best women preachers I ever knew were women. No, let me re-say that. Some of the best women preachers I ever knew were women. What? Oh, that's that what I want to say? Thank you. But it's true. You know that huge big round church down there on 69 in Flint off of a Center Road? The big round church, you ever see that? Big round church? You know who pastored that church for 25, 30 years? A woman. And you don't know the story about her, but her name is Benice Petitic, but I was raised in the same denomination she was in. And Bernice was the district youth director. And she finally decided she wanted to pastor a church. Well, we had some guys in the organization at that time didn't like women preachers. Figured women preachers ought to stay at home, teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, but don't let them get behind the pulpit. And so she says, so she went to the district board and says, I want pastor church. And they said, we haven't got any left. I know you got some left. There's a piece of junk over there on Delaware Street in Flint. She says, I want to go pastor that. They got a big smile on their face because they were getting ready to close it down. And he said, okay, Bernice, you go ahead and take that church, and we'll just see what you can do with it. And if you make it go, fine. If not, then that's just what's supposed to be. Well, what happened with Bernice is he built the biggest church in the entire organization, nationwide. So you see, you know, and then the second stupidest thing I hear say after that is that, well, you know, the trouble with women pastors is they're too emotional. I don't like being emotional. I can't stand being emotional. Aren't you glad I'm not emotional? You hear me back there? See, we make up stupid things to cover our ignorance. And the stupid things we say is no more intelligent than the ignorance that we have. Let's go back to the scripture. God says in the scripture that he has empowered his people with the Holy Spirit. Whether you are a man or a woman, husband or wife, father or mother, you've been equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to start standing, stand your ground and say, Father, you gave me these children and I have sown the seed of God's word in their life. I've given them everything I know to give them. I'm declaring the word that I put in their hearts is going to grow, it's going to harvest, it's going to bring forth fruit. I declare Satan's power is going to be broken off of them forever. I'm declaring their minds are being renewed by the living word of God. I'm declaring the word that I sowed inside their heart is bearing forth awesome fruit, and you are making a difference that only you can make in their life. Hallelujah. Instead of saying, oh, John, excuse me, John. Frank. We don't have a Frank here, do we? Oh, Frank, you need to do something with the kids. I can't do anything with those kids. They're just a bunch of ding-a-lings. That's not what I wanted to hear, Frank. I wanted to hear that we've taken those kids before God. I want you to say that we've sown the word of God in their life and harvest is coming. I wanted you to say that it doesn't matter what the enemy says. I'm declaring that their outcome will be godly and their outcome will be fulfilling in the kingdom of God. I mean, we can go down the line all the things we can say, or we can just go ahead and rebuke them and send them to a grave before they die. How many have heard these kind of Mother's Day sermons before? Well, you know that I'm weird and different. Let me close with this. Isaiah 37 says that Hezekiah was surrounded by the enemy. He went to God, laid out his need before God. God responded and sent an angel. Wiped out 185,000 man army. Isaiah 54 says concerning a promise for our children. Listen to this. Your children shall be taught of the Lord. You will be established in righteousness and free from fear and oppression. Those who gather around you to do you harm will fall. I have created your enemy. I can take care of him. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Your life and confession will serve as a license for his destruction. Are you declaring those kind of things over your kids? I declare over my kids every time I pray for them. Father, I'm declaring that my son has the wisdom to walk in the things of the Spirit. My son and daughter-in-law have got the wisdom of God to make right choices in their life, financially, spiritually, for the children. See, our problem is we kind of just sit back and say, okay, God, I just sort of hope you do something. Folks, God has equipped you with a mouth and empowered you with the Spirit and filled your mind with knowledge. Use it in Jesus' name. Don't sit back and just put up with what the culture says. Well, you just can't do anything with those kids anymore. Well, I promise you that Jesus told the disciples, he said, you know what? He says, the church, he says, when it's moving forward, the enemy will not be able to stop your advance. If you kind of do this, put your child out there in front of you in your mind. Say, okay, Father, I'm declaring that that child is yours. I'm declaring that that child gave his life to you. I'm declaring that if that child didn't, he will. I'm declaring, Father God, that that child is under your divine protection, your divine grace. I'm declaring that child is filled with your Holy Spirit. I'm declaring the Word of God is setting up a wall of protection around them. I'm declaring their minds are going to be filled with the wisdom of God, and they're going to walk into things of the Spirit. I'm declaring, Father God, that they are going to become everything that you'd want them to come, and every weapon the enemy has set before them is going to fall, and they're going to be a giant in the things of God. I mean, make those kind of statements over your kids. And it's not going to happen because you say it. You're simply agreeing with what God wants to do in their life. Don't be passive and thinking, what do we do? Do it, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. You have the power of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You have the ability to speak the Word of God over your children. You have the ability to declare that Satan's power over them is broken. And you've got the faith in your heart. The Word of God says He has put faith inside of you. All it takes is a grain of mustard seed. That's all. That's not a lot of faith. Just a little bit of faith to begin to believe that my child, this small, this tall, that tall, however, is going to walk in the things of God and become everything God wants them to become. Don't accept what people say. Don't be passive. Dear God, don't be passive. Don't be passive, because your passivity will kill your children. Does it mean they don't have a responsibility? Yes, they've got a responsibility. They have to make right choices. But you know why your kids make dumb choices? Because they're blinded to what they ought to do. So that's why the Word says that we can declare over their minds, that their minds have, that the blindness of Satan has put upon their mind can be broken. Let me tell you something. I'll say this in closing. Did I say that yet? I did. Okay. If you've got kids that aren't walking the things of God, they're blind. And you need to declare that. Father, my kids are blind to the things of God. Are they bad kids? No, I'm not saying that they're bad kids. Are they just not worth? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just simply saying that blindness in the New Testament really means to be obscured from the light. It doesn't mean to have an absence of vision. It doesn't mean that you can't see. It just means that there's other things that are obscuring your vision, so you can't see the walk that God wants you to have. And so when you talk about the blindness of this world has gripped the minds of your children, what's happened is they've become so distracted to the things of this world that that's all they can see. They can't see what God wants for you. They can't see what God wants. And so I'm challenging you this morning that make a declaration on this Mother's Day, 2015. I'm declaring war on the enemy. And I'm declaring my kids are going to walk in the things of God. And they're going to walk in the Spirit of God. And they are going to demonstrate what it means to become a believing person and walk in the things of the Word and see the world. You see, you're not going to reach their generation. I said, you are not going to reach your kids' generation. If you haven't figured that out yet, then you need some help. But your kids will reach their generation. I said, your kids will reach their generation if they're equipped. I should say, if they act on the equipment that God's put in their life. Now, if they're not acting on that, if your kids aren't walking with God like they should, if your grandkids aren't walking with God as they should, then make a declaration. Father, I'm declaring right now, Lord, I am not accepting anything less than what your Word says can be the reality in the lives of my children. And I'm going to pray that. I'm going to declare that in faith. I'm going to praise God in faith. And I'm going to declare the works of God over my children. And it doesn't matter what I see today, because I'm not looking at today. I'm looking down the road. I'm looking at the outcome. The outcome is going to be what God's Word says. Today may be a disaster. See, that's our big problem, is we hear a sermon like this, like, oh, dear God, my kids are a disaster right now. Nothing's going right in their life. Well, that may be true. And being a person of faith doesn't ignore that. But being a person of faith doesn't let what you see in the present moment blind you to what God can do down the road. God can down the road make the major difference in the lives of your kids. I want to encourage you today. Now, Are there any perfect parents here? See, do you see any perfect parents? Okay. So quit letting the devil beat you up and tell you how rotten you are. Quit letting the devil remind you of all your failure points. All right? Because when you got saved and when you surrendered your life to God, God erased all the failure points. Those failure points don't exist anymore. Oh, if I'd only done this. Quit saying that. Who cares what you should have done right? Well, who cares right now? What am I going to do right now? You see, you can undo the past by doing the right thing at this moment. And the right thing at this moment is say, okay, Father, I thank you that you've forgiven me for my past. You've forgiven me for what I did wrong. You've forgiven me for the mistakes I've made. You've forgiven me. I thank you, Lord, that doesn't even exist. If you start talking to God about your past failures, he's going to say, what are they talking about? Because those past failure points have been covered by the blood. They don't exist. The only thing that exists is the present that I make now and the future that I plan for by making right choices today. That's good. You needed to hear that. You see, the past is done, gone with us. It's now, you know, you can remind yourself of your past, and other people can remind you of your past. But you know, but the most important thing is when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. So, thank you, Father. It's gone. It's gone. No, it doesn't exist. But what exists is right now, Lord. So I'm going to declare in Jesus' name, I'm going to start functioning according to a supernatural mother. I'm going to start functioning as a supernatural father. Now I'm going to declare that regardless of what I see today, I'm painting a faith picture of what you are wanting to do in the lives of my children, and I'm going to declare that until I see it happen. Amen. And then it's up to God to make it happen, and it's up to them to say yes. But you know, in the meantime, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to walk in the... And then, whatever you do, don't cram this stuff down their throat. You backslider, you sinner, you do whatever you are. I want you to know I'm praying for you, and God's going to change your life. Don't say that stuff to them. Don't say that to them. Just say that stuff to God. Because saying it to them won't change anything unless make them mad. You're bugging into their life. You're irritating their life. You're stick your nose in where you don't belong. Just choose in Jesus' name. You know what? I'm declaring that the lives of my kids are important. They're important. And the lives of my kids may make the difference to this generation. If you've watched much television news over the last 6 months, our country's in a mess. It's never been in a mess to this degree in my lifetime. And what I'm discovering is that what the culture is listening to is they're listening to their own voice. They're not listening to my voice. They're listening to their own voice. Doesn't mean they can't change, but I'm just saying as is right now. And what I'm saying to you is that they'll listen to the voice of your kids. They will listen to the voice of your kids. What kind of voice comes out of their mouth depends on what's in their spirit. And we need to be praying, God, change my kids on the inside. Change them on the inside. We've getting wrapped up on how stupid they are and all the dumb things they've done, how they've made us mad, they've messed up our life, they've messed up this, that, and the other. And we get so preoccupied with all that stuff that, you know what, we lose sight of the fact that they're a child of God, and God, Jesus, died for them. He loves them as much as he loves you. So let's say, okay, Father, forgive me for that mess. I'm changing. I'm making a decision, Lord. I'm declaring, Father, that my children belong to you. I'm declaring, Father, that my children are your heritage. My children are yours. And Father, I'm declaring through faith, through prayer, through the word, that you are changing all the stuff in their life that needs to change so that you can begin to make them the productive people you want them to be. We can do that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love us shall eat the fruit thereof. That's what the word says. The word says you are snared by the words of your mouth. You know, we can snare the devil with the words of our mouth. If we can be snared with the words of our mouth, we can snare him. We can say, Satan, we bind you in Jesus' name. That's what Jesus said. And I don't care how old your kids are. Age has absolutely nothing to do with this deal. It has all to do with, okay, Lord, I'm declaring that whatever I bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. So Father, I am binding all the garbage in the life of my children. I'm binding that, Lord. I'm declaring that they are loosed from the bondage of the enemy, and you are setting them free. See, you think of all the things you might want to say about anything. Say it about your kids. You can pray about my kids, and I appreciate that, but pray about your own kids. The most important kids in this place to each of us are our own. Your kids are important to me, but I'll tell you what, mine are really important to me. How am I telling you that? I sleep, eat, and breathe my kids. Hello? I pray for them with that intensity. I pray for your kids too, but I'll tell you what, there's no greater passion in my life than my kids. And the same is about you. We pray for everybody's kids in the world, don't we? We ought to spend that much time praying for our own kids. Amen? Everybody said, he's done. Let's all stand. Oh, wow. Did you notice this stuff gets under my skin? Did you notice this stuff gets under my skin? And I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm just trying to say that God has shown me over the last few years that it's this next generation is so vital. It is so vital. My Lord, it's so vital. And we need to start assuming, or need to start walking in the responsibility we have as parents to pray for our children. To pray for our children. Would you take somebody's hand? Priscilla, you come over here. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity we have to gather as a church family and to love one another and care for one another. And Lord, oftentimes because of our relationship we have with one another in this building, we lose sight of the fact that many of our children should be here too, and they're not. But Lord, we move past it because we're here. But Lord, I'm reminding each of us, Lord, that we have children that are home. They're doing other things that they shouldn't do. They're involved in other matters, Father, that are not as important as being in a place of worship, celebrating a risen Christ, and being equipped to take that message and to go out to their generation and to bring change, where change will not come from any other place but through them. And Lord, each one of them, Father, have their own environment of people. They've got their own circle of friends. They've got their own issue of people that are involved in the same issues they are, Lord. They are an awesome, awesome potential instrument in your hands to be used to change their world, Father. And Lord, we need to shake off this preoccupation we have with our lives. And Lord, begin to think more about our children's lives and who they interact with and the people they have contact with and the places that they live and the places where they work and the places of entertainment that they go to and all the things, Lord, that are related to our life, to their lives, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for our children. Say it with me. Father, I bring my children before you. I ask you right now to fill my children with a fresh awareness of your love, your mercy, and your desire to be a daily part of their life. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to bind the power of Satan and his captivity over their lives and set them free, Heavenly Father, to enter in to all that you have for them in the name of Jesus. Can we lift our hands and say thank you, Lord? Father, we thank you that you're doing it now, Lord. You're making a supernatural change in the lives of our children, Lord. From this day forward, Father, you're doing something, Lord, that cannot be explained but can be experienced, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I bless you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your love and your mercy, Lord. I thank you for how much you care for these people. Lord, they're not here by accident. They're here by divine appointment, Father, because you have a word for each of us to hear. And to be reminded of, Lord, that our kids are important to you. And they're certainly important to us. But Lord, we need to make sure we don't get distracted from the real vital role we have in the lives of our children. And that is, Lord, to pray the goodness of your kingdom into their lives. Lord, do that divine work in each life, I pray. For every mother in this place today, Father, I pray that you'd bless them today. I pray that you'd give them divine wisdom, Lord, in how they relate to their children. I ask you, Lord, to give them wisdom and to say the right things, to bless their kids with the right words. Lord, to literally to invite them into their hearts in a fresh new way. I pray, Jesus, that the mothers in this place today will be refreshed by the fresh love and fresh communication from their children, to be told that they've been a blessing. Lord, that they have been goodness into their lives. And Lord, for those that have not been spoken to for weeks, months, or even years, I pray, Lord, you break down that wall. I say, Lord God, you remove that barrier. I say, Lord God, you bring unity and love and fresh connections between mothers and their children, Lord, like they never had before. I pray your blessing, Lord, upon every mother in this place, in the name of Jesus. And for mothers, Lord, of small children that haven't had to deal with the challenges of growth and development, Lord, I pray you bless them with hope. Bless them with peace. Bless them with knowledge, Lord, that if they start now imparting life to their children and continue to do that through every moment they have, that, Lord, their children will follow after the things of God. You told us to train our children the way that they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it, Father. Well, Lord, I pray you'd help us as your children to be to our children, Lord God, the parents, in particular the mothers that you want us to be, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Wrap your arms around somebody's neck and give them a hug.